Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we are getting ready for, a little trip over the pond as the Open Championship is coming up a week from now. And much like the PGA Tour has done, the players have done, they've really incorporated the week before as part of the normal routine to get ready for the Open, and that's the Scottish Open, and that's what we have this week. So we're certainly looking forward to it. Skeeter, as we get ready for the Scottish Open, though, we certainly take a look in the rearview mirror as the John Deere Classic unfolded at TPC Deer Run a week ago. I don't know if we're taking much from the John Deere Classic to the Scottish Open, but I know that it's a special event in your heart. What are we taking away from that John Deere Classic?
I didn't get to watch much of it. So unfortunately, I was busy, and it sucks because I usually like to try to go up there, but just didn't work out this year and couldn't really watch it. But I'm sitting here watching this. I'm like, you know, it gets a lot of crap for being easy and all that, and I get it. I mean, I do. Weak fields, which there's no defense to that. But, you know, when I watch it Sunday, and there's, you know, some of those leaders are even par one under the day. You know, I think it was like 4 under a cut, and there's still players, you know, struggling, and decent names struggling. Like, how is this any, you know, why is this so much easier than the Travelers or Rocket Mortgage or anything like that? Like, it's an easy course, but I feel like it might maybe a little tougher than people think.
I don't know if it, I mean, it's certainly way tougher for me than I think. Not really, because I already know I would not do well there.
Oh, well.
My thought is I don't mind a birdie fest. Like, I like each tournament for what it is, I think is probably a fair way to say it. But when you're watching a birdie fest and you know what it is, you also know that the same as when you watch the U.S. Open and you know that the top five names on the leaderboard could absolutely blow up and fall off the leaderboard. Heck, I guess it could happen in other tournaments too. PGA Championship a year ago. That's not so different than a birdie fest where a name could, you know, where a guy could go all Sepp Straka and scream up the leaderboard either. It's a different philosophy. It's certainly a different, one's positive, one's negative, but I think there's a place for it. I don't mind watching birdie fests. I don't mind, you know, I certainly don't mind watching them grind it out in other events too, but I mean, I can get down with the birdie fest. Scoring is fun, especially when you play DraftKings lineups, right? If you get 6 of 6 to make it through the weekend, which I did not last week, but if you do, I mean, you got to feel like you're always live because you're just like, there's so many points to be had, not even the finishing place points. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with it, Skeeter. And I will stand shoulder to shoulder with you and defend the John Deere Classic.
Right. Like, again, it's never going to get the strongest feel, just the placement of it on the schedule. But the thing about it is, you know, both nines, they end on the toughest holes. Like, 9 is just a 500-plus yard par 4. 18's got that pond to the left. And the rough is always up. I mean, I played there 2 years ago, and I played there like 10 days after the final round, and that was the thickest rough I've ever seen. Like, I was like, how do I even play out of this? Like, it was just brutal for me. Now, I'm an amateur, so of course anything like that's going to be tough, but just, you know, I think it plays a little harder than people think, But we saw that in some of the scores, but then again, it's also available for Sepp Straka to be on 59 watch and then double bogey.
58 watch, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And then for him to double bogey at 18, all of a sudden make this an interesting tournament. As somebody who live bet him at 80-1 on Friday, I was sweating that one out, but it lived.
Ooh, props to you. It lived.
I don't think, what, Sepp Straka have anything to do with Liv?
No. I just, I don't know. Props to you for saying it lived. I don't know. All right, okay. There.
But no, you know, it usually has a throwing finish. And again, I will always say about the John Deere, look at the winners. Like, it's very rarely do you get the random scrub. Like, you know, Sepp Straka now, 2-time winner. He might be on a Euro. He might be on a Ryder Cup come the fall.
He really might be. Absolutely.
Lucas Glover, major winner.
I have to admit that's true.
Yeah, I mean, Spieth got his first win here. Stricker, Zach Johnson, like.
Did you say Bryson?
Bryson, yeah, he got his first win here. I think, yeah, first win. So, I mean, they have decent winners for all the crap they get. But, I mean, look, you know, John Rahm isn't coming to Silvis, Illinois anytime soon unless they make an elevated event. But it's probably not happening.
Skeeter? It was still a good event. Seb Straka wins with a big, big time performance. And to be fair, I mean, just to defend your tournament a little bit for you, Seb Straka also won the Honda, right? A very difficult tournament, a low scoring. So it's not as if it caters to that one type of player either.
No, and yes, but Seb Straka is like literally definition of boom bust, and even kind of going through this week's. Scottish Open Field, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, who are some of these Euros that I know the name, but I have no idea how they've been playing. It's like, I found the ones that, like, okay, these guys are making cuts, top 20s, and they're like, there's a couple, like, oh, they have a win. They also have six missed cuts recently. So it's just like, okay, so we got some of these boom-bust Euro guys, you know, DP World Tour guys that we're going to have to pay attention to as well.
Well, Skeeter, are we ready to get into the Scottish Open?
Before we do, I think we'd be remiss since we didn't do last week. Ricky Fowler, I think you and I were
very happy
about that at Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I kind of just like slid that under the radar since we missed a week ago with the truncated week and the holiday. Props to Ricky and the reaction, the way he just kind of stood there and looked up and soaked it all in. I would ask you this. Did you think it was longer than 4 years since he had won? I guess that's long. I guess 4 years is a long time to me. I just thought, wow, it felt like it was longer. Cause we saw, you know, some of the graphics of these guys winning for the first time in forever. Grillo was one of those guys and it was like 7 years, I think maybe. So maybe I just thought it had been more than 4 years since Fowler, had won, but, I don't know. I answered the question instead of letting you answer it.
No, that's all right. Cause the last time he won previous was it Phoenix?
I think so.
I remember that. Oh God, what a tournament that was! Like Ricky, I think dominated all week, and then he struggled on Sunday. It was raining out there, and I think it was like Brendan Grace had taken a lead. He had been playing well, and I think he found the water on a par five or something. And so in the end, Ricky did win, but that was just an ugly, ugly round at Scottsdale.
Well, Scottsdale's seen some ugly things on that golf course.
One of those not being Harry Higgs with his taking his shirt off last year.
He
right?
and Joel, they both
that's right. That's
delivered.
Great.
Oh goodness. Well, yeah, definitely props to Ricky. I was pretty fired up, and I mean, it was actually like it was sort of a bummer that it was on so early, right? Because they did that. They did the early split tee time threesomes to get everything in before the weather hit.
Yep.
They even, if you remember, they even got that like warning about, hey, make sure you get this. Make sure you guys get this in. The weather's coming. You got about 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was happy because I had Ricky in a lot of DFS lineups and I bet him outright. And I think it ended up between the bets and what winnings I would have lost without the first place points. I think it was like $250, $300.
Nice. That's that is some good stuff. That's definitely one that I'll remember just because I've been a Ricky fan for quite some time. And you know, I mean, yeah, we were all disappointed when the U.S. Open. Certainly, I had, you know, lineups and bets on him for that. But definitely pumped for him. So I'm happy to see it. You're right that we would have let that one slip. So good catch, Skeeter.
Yeah.
Now, are you ready to get into the Scottish Open?
Yes.
So, Skeeter, what are we looking at here? I mean, this is obviously an event that's pretty new on people's radar. It was not a PGA Tour event until recently. Players just trying to get through the jet lag and get acclimated to Europe a little longer now. So what is it we're looking at? This is not a new event, but kind of new to us.
Yeah, second year. So I think you and I were talking just like, we don't know really what to expect here. And there was no shot tracker data or anything from last year. So I really, or at least I didn't see any on Fantasy National. So, you know, it kind of looks like, I mean, it plays like an American course a little bit, at least from the yardage perspective. Like there's a lot of holes between 450 and 500 yards, all the par five, the three par fives are between 575 and 600. So, I mean, it does play that. So I'll look at those ranges, the proximity from 175 plus. That's something to look at. Birdies are better, but I really don't know. And to further complicate things too, is we have, you know, this is a dual co-sanctioned event. We have, you know, I think something like half PGA Tour players and half DP World Tour players. So how do you rate the forms of both? Like, how do you rate somebody in the, you know, on a PGA Tour here in the States versus somebody on the DP World Tour?
I think I'm probably looking at this and I'm content to just throw, you know, my three $8 lineups into the, Mulligan, I think it's called. Yeah. The, Mulligan, and just kind of watch and more take this in for next week. As opposed to really getting into it like that, because quite frankly, and we'll have some players next week that we're maybe not as keen on, but, this week as well, just names that you can look at and say, oh, Bobby McIntyre, there's a guy I know about, but I haven't seen a whole lot of him lately.
Right. I think I'm just going to, and again, the stat models are just going to be really thrown off because we don't have DP World Tour stats or anything like that. So I think it's just form for me is what I'm looking at. It's like, all right, are you playing well? And I don't care what tour you're on. Like, is there some semblance of form? If there is, then, you know, I'm going to look at you.
Are we ready to look at this field?
Yep.
Let's do it. We do it with 10K plus, and it starts with a very familiar face. Scottie Scheffler at 11-6. Rory McIlroy's 10-9. Xander Schauffele 10-4. Patrick Cantlay 10-2. Skeeter, where are you going here?
I mean, I'm just going to continue on Scheffler. I am concerned because, I mean, he didn't play real great in Europe a year ago, but at this point, like, why not? I mean, what has he done wrong outside of his putter, which has been an issue? Like, he's number one tee to green approach opportunities gained. He's top five. Birdies are better. The par four from 450 to 500, par five from 500 to 600 in the proximity ranges. Like, you know, these should be slower greens, so you would think maybe the putter will be maybe he can have a little more success putting, but, you know, 11-6 is a hefty price to pay, but there's some cheaper priced Euros who are in good form that I can fit around Scotty.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you would do anything other than say Scotty Scheffler. I mean, the dude is out of his mind right now, continues to just pump down. Like, at one point we were saying, oh, he hasn't been outside the top 10 in a while. Dude, he hasn't been outside the top five since April. He has been top five in every event he's played or better since April. I can't make an argument for anything other than Scottie Scheffler is my number one if I get up here. I mean, the only argument I can make is if I can't afford it, the next guy, who's my number two, is pretty intriguing as well, certainly comes from there, and has also been incredibly hot here lately. It's been since early May that Rory's been outside the top 10. So I make no arguments with you on Scheffler. If price is not an argument, it is him. But if I find myself with a lineup where either I put Scheffler and now I just can't find anybody to finish it and I have to pivot to Rory or vice versa, I've got, you know, 10-9 left. I would be happy going with Rory but as my two, but I don't see how you get off Scheffler.
Yeah, he's just playing. I mean, his ball striking, I think people have compared his
it's
ball.
It's Tiger.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the putting of Tiger.
It's incredible. And it is incredible how bad he is putting. And how good he's still performing.
Okay, so, I mean, yes, his putter's been bad, but U.S. Open, he gained 1.2 strokes putting, which is fine for Scheffler.
Heck yeah.
Travers, he gained 0.7. Like, literally, the last time he lost strokes in an event in a category other than putting, and by the way, the putting has had more positive than negatives, just the negatives have been really bad. Like, he lost 8.5 at Memorial, finished third. He lost 4.5 at Schwab, finished third. Last time was at the Genesis. He lost 1.6 around the green. He finished 12th. Like, this is just impeccable form. And, you know, Scheffler's, you know, certainly I think a big name for us. But what's Rory's price if he is in this field? You know, have these same stats. What's Rom's? Like, I still feel like Scheffler is still a little underrated from a global perspective. So I'm just going to keep writing him and, you know, It might not be the best spots, but, you know, the way he's ball striking, I don't think it'll matter. And again, typically these greens are a little slower over in Europe, so I would think that would only be a help for Scotty.
Skeeter, do you got a number two in this tier?
Nope. It's either Scotty or I just say forget it, because I got some nines, and that's usual suspects for me that I'll be looking at.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with that, too. So I would go with Rory, given how he's playing. I have nothing against Xander or Cantlay, but you could almost call him a dual fade, because I won't go to either one.
No, I like guys below them better, and I personally have no problem paying all the way up for Scotty. Early ownership on a Monday night, yeah, I think they're all gonna be used. It's just there's really no reason to fade any of them. Just it's basically who do you like, and you go from there.
Oddly enough, the one book that I'm looking at now, the local sports book, the physical one, Rory is 6.5 to 1, Scotty's 7 to 1.
Oof.
I'm not sure if 7 to 1 like is makes me go, oh my god, I got to get in there, but I'm stunned that he's not the favorite.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's so tough to play somebody at 6.5, 7 to 1. Like, and I'm one who's always gonna kind of feel better anyway. Like,
so am I.
Like, if you told me who's going to win the FedEx Cup, Scheffler or the Field, I will take the Field.
Every day, I would take the Field, and every time that's the question, I'll take the Field.
Right,
and you'll win money. I will take the Field against Prime Tiger, and I will win. Too. I'll win money.
Yes, I mean
because he might only win 40% of the events, but I will win the other 60.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's very rare where I would take the Field.
Skeeter, you ready to get into the next step in the Field, the 9Ks?
Yep.
Matt Fitzpatrick's 98, Victor Hovland 97, Tyrrell Hatton 96, Ricky Fowler 95, Tommy Fleetwood 94, Spieth 93, Lowry 91, and at 9K even, it's Wyndham Clark. Skeeter, we got some good names here. Where are you going?
This is a deep tier.
I agree.
There's only really two names I wouldn't play, and they're among the ones in better form. But for me, if we're back over here, Hatton's due for a win, isn't he? Like, this feels like this would be a spot. Returning to the UK, he's been playing well all year. I mean, he's maybe cooled off a little bit, but still rates out really well. Tee to green approach, birdies are better, everything like that. Like, we know he's a links-style player. He's had some nice wins over on in Europe and links courses. 9,600, he's one of the three linksy European guys I like here.
I'm never going to say no to Tyrrell Hatton. I'm happy to use him. I like that price, too. The guy right ahead of him, Victor Hovland, I'm surprised you don't go to as your favorite here.
He's in my list. I'm not sure. I mean, I have probably 1A, 1B, and 1C.
I mean, it's not been great since he won the Memorial. Finished 19th at the U.S. Open, which, by the way, that ain't bad. 29th at the Travelers. That's okay. But now we're getting close to a major that I know people think Hovland has a good chance to be the winner at some point. Now, obviously, we're talking about the next week. But this week, setting up for it, I mean, I don't know how you get away from Victor Hovland, 9,700. He hasn't missed a cut this year.
No, he's on my list. I mean, again, seems to play well in Europe, or at least I feel like he does. I mean, he's from Norway, so closest thing to a homecoming, I suppose, is he's going to have. But no, I tend to like some of these Euros who play well in the States and return home. Like, I'm surprised Rahm is playing, because he'd be one I'd be considering. I always sure. In European events.
I mean, at this point, I'm almost surprised that they're all not playing, just because of it, of both the jet lag, time zone acclimation, and the playing.
Right, but everybody has their own style, so no. Surely. It's for me, it's Hovland, Hatton, and then of course, if we're in Europe, I got to go to Tommy Fleetwood, who surprisingly number one putting from 5 to 10 feet over the past 24 rounds, fifth tee to green, 16th at approach. Like, he's been playing well all year too, and he's the cheapest of these at 9,400. Like, for me, these three are my favorites, and then it would be a little bit of a gap for me.
I'm actually right there with you in these three. So I'll ask you who you're fading, and then I will pick somebody I'm fading if it's not the same person you say already.
I'm going to fade Wyndham Clark.
Okay.
I mean, look, the stats say he should do fine. I don't know what his European history is, but probably still trying to, you know, he'll get probably get a little more attention, and I don't know his style, and there's just, it's in a tier of, you know, I'd rather play Lowry for 100 more, who we know is a Lynx style player. I don't know what Clark's game will translate to that.
What if I was fading Shane Lowry?
You know what? I have no issue with that.
Because I think that is who I'm fading, and I probably won't play Wyndham Clark either, by the way. Now, I'm not going to tell you Lowry's been terrible. Was 20th at the U.S. Open, 19th at Travelers. But I'm just, like, as you said, you might just go to form, and certainly you would think that Lowry, who won the Open from that area, I know he's Irish, not Scottish, but still from that general area, like, you would think that it's just a natural fit for him. But he's not really having that great of a season. Shane Lowry is not. And right now, I mean, I tried to get with him earlier. He did have some bright spots this season, but he's had a lot of real downs, too. I'm off Lowry this week.
Yeah, it's here's the thing. Is like, he just doesn't have many top 10 finishes, which if he's in a low 8Ks, high 7s, okay, you can live with that. At 9,100, though, you got to start getting some finishes, and I certainly understand that. By the way, my 4 in this tier would be Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with him. I mean, he's almost in that Lowry sense of makes sense here, right? Because of the, obviously, you know, he's from the geographical area. I don't know. His form's not doing much for me either, really.
No,
not
but
terrible.
Again, a return to the UK might spruce him up a little bit. But the other thing, you know, and I'm not playing Ricky. I want to see how he does after the win. Like, if he's still continuing everything he's been doing, I will use him next week at the Open.
I think that's a great call, too, is just see where he's at. Because I'll be honest with you, I think I got more emotional than Ricky did at the after he won Rocket Mortgage. We'll see how even keel he really was versus the way his outward persona was. We'll see how he looks. I'm real interested to see him finally getting that monkey off the back, but still having a giant monkey in that major championship void on his back.
Right, but you know, remember we did see Xander win Travelers last year and come over here and win this event. So
yep, that's right.
Possible, but again, there's just so many guys around here that I think I would just rather play.
Yeah, I could find, if I were 10 lineups, I'd probably use Ricky twice. But if I'm only setting three, I don't. You know, if I use him, it's going to be once at max, and I doubt I'm going to use him.
Right. Same here.
8K.
Yep.
Minwoo Lee's 89. Max Homa 88. Justin Rose 87. Sung JM 86, Tom Kim 85, Sam Burns 84, Justin Thomas 83, Ludvig Åberg 82, Adam Scott 81, Corey Connors 8K. Skeeter, where are you going in 8K?
This is another range that's just really good. You know what? Somebody brought this up. I don't know if it was on PGA Tour Radio. I don't know if it was one of my podcasts, the Pat Mayo podcast I listened to. I don't know who it was, but they mentioned that, you know, maybe the best thing that could happen for Justin Thomas is getting away from the United States and having to be a little more creative over in Europe, because, you know, there are certain shots that you have to be a little more creative on. And maybe that's just what he needs. Like, I have a feeling nobody's going to use him just because he burned everybody at Rocket Mortgage. But again, it's just the putter has just been so bad for him. But, you know, ball striking is still kind of there. Oh, he lost 6 strokes around the green at Rocket Mortgage. Like, that just never happens to him.
Wow.
You know, we saw at Travelers, he kind of put some things together. And the putting has actually gotten a little bit better, kind of looking stat-wise. His approach is still a little bit off, but, you know, if I don't think anybody's going to be on him, this is one of those, you know, elite player, cheaper price, when he's trying to struggle for him, but he's at least shown some life. Like, I will probably be using him at 8,300 just because if he figures this out, or if this theory that, you know, going to Europe releases some of that creativity, then all of a sudden he's going to be one you're going to have to win a tournament.
It's hard to argue with the price tag, man. And that's a player I could get to. I'm going to say my favorite's probably going to be Adam Scott. 8,100 is just a nice price. I mean, if you're telling me that the greens might be a little bit easier You know, in the Scotty Scheffler narrative, I mean, that's Adam Scott, too, with that spaceship he's using to putt with.
He's actually been putting really well this season. Like, the only time since the Genesis that he's lost strokes putting was at the PGA Championship, and he lost a tenth of a stroke.
Hmm. Okay. So well,
the putter's actually been very good for Adam Scott, which is not what we're used to.
I swear I've seen him miss five-footers still this year.
Well, I mean, that's going to happen.
Adam Scott, though, I think I'm going with him, man. He did have the blip at the U.S. Open, and it certainly burned me. And by the way, my number two in this tier is going to have the same freaking storyline that burned me. But I'm probably going with him as well. But for now, I'm going to stick with Adam Scott. 8,100, I mean, the price is just so right that, I mean, I'm very comfortable with him in my lineups. I know he has missed that cut. That was the only cut he missed the U.S. Open so far this year.
No issues with him. He's probably not somebody I'm going to myself, but no issues with it.
I'm an Adam Scott guy now at this point, I think. I guess I kind of always have been. Where else are you going, Skeeter?
Okay, I have five guys in this tier, which I'm going to have to eliminate somebody, I think, at some point. The guy who I think is going to go kind of contrarian here, and I don't know if he's played over in Europe, but the past two tournaments, or at least this year, I know he's originally got a start over there. Pastor Schur was 9th in Travelers, 5th at the U.S. Open, and he was 9th in Travelers with bad irons. Like, he's been struggling a little bit there, but who's playing Minwoo Lu at 8,900? I'll take a chance on him. He's number one in scrambling, which I always think is something you want over here.
You make anything of the fact that he played the Betfred British Masters as well. Finished 15th.
All right. Fine with me. Like, I think this is one upside. I mean, we saw like Kitayama finish second here last year. These trending Euro DP World Tour guys who come to the States and then come back, who haven't won, at least on the PGA Tour, kind of pop up every now and then. And Minwoo is at least showing signs that he's popping. If his irons are anything decent, then I'm in favor of this one. But I have other guys in the eights as well.
We know he's got the DNA. Yeah, and the reason I asked you about the British Masters is because, you know, we're talking about guys acclimating for the Open through the Scottish Open. Well, maybe these guys have acclimated for the Scottish Open through the British Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Dude, I'm going to go with Justin Rose, 8,700. Yep. Yep. That freaking vampire. He owes me a bag of money right now. Not really, because Ricky and Xander both kind of plummeted on Sunday at the U.S. Open. But that lineup with those two, as well as Wyndham Clark with the vampire, just stare me right in the face with that miscut blood dripping from his teeth. He owes me. And he came back to Europe. He was fourth at the British Masters. If I can just take my own personal hatred out, it's not really hatred, my own personal disgust from the recent slashing by the vampire once again and his miscut at the U.S. Open. Everything else recently has been really dang good, so I'll go back to him.
Oh, absolutely. He's definitely on my list. I mean, the U.S. Open, it's its own beast, right? Like, we've just disclosed that. Like, all right, you know what? Sometimes it's just not worth it. You know, we're not going to go there.
And he's won that tournament. I mean, what are you going to do? He's won the U.S. Open. He got me. What are you going to do?
Right. And did he miss by one?
He was plus four. I can't tell you. I remember what the cut was.
I thought it was two or three. So, I mean.
I think it was three. You know what? Actually. Because he got to plus three and he was on the cut line, and then he bogeyed like 16.
Yeah, because
he like birdied 15 to get there and then bogeyed 16. I'm like, you mother.
Yeah, because he had a terrible Thursday. He actually fought back really nicely. So, yeah, I have no issues going back to Rails. You know, I will always play him anyway. So,
eventually, I'm going to have him in a lineup that does really well, and I'm going to go, see, I told you so to myself.
Yeah. Another guy who I think could go a little hidden, a little underappreciated, and he was third here last year, Tom Kim. Like, we still don't know. I mean, he's one of those boom-bust guys. Like, you don't know which version of him you're getting, but if it's good version, he was third here a year ago, ranks out well in approach, opportunities, and things like that. It's just whether or not his putter will actually cooperate, but if it does, he's also number one proximity from 200-plus yards. Like, he fits the mold for me, and then, I mean, he quietly finished second or third yesterday, but Åberg.
He ended up T4, but I'm with you. Like, is he this year's version of Tom Kim? I know they're not exactly coming from the same place as far as, like, you know, Åberg being that superstar college player. But young, will Aberg be noticed? Will he be a trendy, popular pick or under the radar? Because if he isn't used much, I mean, 8,200, I'm with you on Aberg.
Oh, well, let's see what Monday Night says. I mean, plus, you know, he's got a lot to play for. His name's been thrown around for the Ryder Cup.
Heck yeah, dude. I mean, they're talking about him having this magnificent swing. And if you're the Ryder Cup captain, Luke Donald, and maybe even not the Ryder Cup captain, but the brass as a whole, and you go, you know, this doesn't look like our year. I guess we're not allowed to bring in these old guard guys from LIV, and it still remains to be seen how this all shakes out. But maybe if you're, like, really allowing yourself to build for the future, I know it's a home court advantage with Rome being the site, like, maybe you do go, hey, let's no more Poulter, no more Westy. Let's go Aberg as one of the new young guys. I mean, it's makes sense because wouldn't you think, and we know many things can happen, I would have thought Victor Dubuisson would be a stalwart on the Ryder Cup team by now. But wouldn't you think Ludvig Aberg is going to be on multiple Ryder Cup teams come 10 years from now?
Yes.
So get him going. I'm with you. So I agree with you as far as him having a chance to put his – and I think Luke Donald has said that he'd be foolish not to consider him at this point.
I mean, isn't he kind of similar to even Hovland and Rahm? I'm not going to say he's not that capability yet, but it seems like his path is there. Like, this guy's going to be a future year Ryder Cupper. Like, why not, you know, why not debut him on home soil? And, you know, well, and there's a couple other names right now who are, I think, would qualify. Like, okay, who would you rather have, Aberg or Sepp Straka?
Sepp Straka, because he's closed the deal twice, but maybe the answer's both. But if I'm thinking about 2027, probably Aberg, because he's got a better chance to carry that team in 4 years.
Where's is 2025 Ryder Cup at Hazeltine? Because that would be, that'd be an Aberg course, I would think.
I don't know where it is, honestly. I only know it's in Rome just because it's this year.
Right. I mean, we'll get to somebody in the sevens who I think will be on the Euro. I mean, the three wins in the year and who won at the court, who won the Italian tournament this year at the course that's hosting the Ryder Cup. But Aberg wants to make a statement. Go top five this week or next week, and he's probably finding himself on that team.
Well, we're both on him. Anybody else in this tier that strikes your fancy?
Nope.
Who are you fading?
I'm fading Max Homa.
He's one of several guys that I could actually say I'm fading in this tier.
Okay.
I'm with you. Homa, a guy that I absolutely adore, but I'm with you. I'm not playing him right now. I mean, honestly, I'm not going to play Sung JM, and I'm not going to play Sam Burns either.
I can play Burns. He's a little all over the place, but he at least, I think right now, has shown a little bit of form. 32nd U.S. Open, miss at Canada on the number, 16 Memorial, 6 at Schwab. Like, he's at least shown some things that I could go to him if I had to. I'm not going to, but...
Okay, that's fair. Then my official one will be Sung JM, just so that, just because. Okay. all right, Skeeter, it's 7Ks. We've got a whole host of players, and it gets interesting because we're digging through now, as you said, not only just a large group of players, but players who've played both, DP World Tour guys as well. Is there a name that pops at you that you have to get in these lineups in 7K?
Well, I just mentioned him. He won in Italy. He should be in the Ryder Cup, and I swear I play this guy every major. It's Maronk at 7,300. Like, what is he doing at this price? He won in Italy. He was fourth at the PGA, fifth at the KLM, missed at the U.S. Open, missed at Canada. But then he came back. He was third at the BMW and 15th at the British Masters. Like, this guy's a legit player. Now we're going to Europe where he's had all of his success at 7,300. This is an absolute steal. Give me Maronk.
I can get with it. Definitely some reason to get there. I don't know if I have a favorite per se, because, you know, I think we've kind of talked about it. Like, I'm not sure I have a great grasp on this tournament as a whole. Dude, I might get back on to Doug Gim train at 7,500, though. He just continues to play good. 26th at John Deere Classic wasn't great. 33rd at Rocket Mortgage Classic isn't great. Those fields aren't quite this field. But those aren't bad finishes either. I'll take anything close to that at 7,500. Before that, we saw a really nice run of a 15th, 12th, and 19th at Travelers, Canadian Open, and Byron Nelson. So give me some Doug Gim. The man's been, I think, six tournaments in a row inside the top 35.
Yeah, that's not bad. I don't, again, I worry about how he plays in Europe, but maybe I also have a feeling I might be overvaluing this way too much. By the way, it's going to be tough for me to play Gim because at the same price as one of my guys, Lynx specialist Ryan Fox, who has a similar profile to Gim. Just, you know, 43rd at U.S. Open, 30th Memorials, 21st at Schwab, 23rd at the PGA. In fact, hasn't really played the Euro Tour since, or the DP World Tour since the start of the year, where his best was 11th at the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. I'm assuming it was in the Middle East somewhere. But anytime we get to these Lynx-y style courses, Ryan Fox is always somebody I'm interested in.
I could play two guys at 7,500. That's not that difficult to do. First of all, you put them both in first, and then you move from there.
Right. Anybody else in the upper sevens? I have two other names.
I mean, dude, I might get with Aaron Rye. The guy plays with two gloves because he grew up in the nasty, wet, conditions in England. Like Aaron Rye coming off of a ninth at Rocket Mortgage, he's been playing some decent golf. I would say that at the top of 7K, he kind of stands out amongst the rest.
Yeah, first round leader bet too, Aaron Rye. Okay. He's on my list. The other guy, 7,600, good form, and I actually kind of went back a few years. His European finish is not bad. Brian Harman's playing decent as well. Second at Travelers, ninth at Rocket Mortgage. The putter's working, the irons are working. He's never going to gain off the tee, but that's fine. But if you're going to hit a bunch of approaches and putt well, I mean, he's playing pretty well. 7,600, I think, is a fair price on Brian Harman. I'll give him a look.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm pro Brian Harman, so I'm with you there. As I look further down, I don't know, man. I find myself wanting to say Gary Woodland, but I'm not sure if I'm going to.
I can't do it.
Why can't you do it? Talk me off the ledge then, because I like the price at 7,600. He's only missed one cut in the last couple of months. Tell me why you can't do it.
What's his upside? Like, that's my issue.
That's fair. I mean, he's not. It's the same argument I guess I'm making for Shane Lowry. Is you're making a good point. Two guys who have won majors, and you make a good point.
I mean, his only top 10 this calendar year was at the Genesis. He's got a 14th at the Masters, 14th at Wells Fargo, but other than that, nothing really even in the top 20. So, you know what? Give me some of these. I'd rather just play some of these DP World Tour guys who at least have won or been getting some top 10s over here.
Okay. I mean, you can convince me that maybe I should just look at Bobby Mack instead.
What is up with him? Because I drafted him in our league, and he hasn't played many majors, but he is starting to show up a little bit.
Yeah, he's showing up in Europe, which is not good for you in our league, but he is showing up in Europe.
No, I'm not on him yet because I have some other random DP World Tour players I have some interest in.
Okay, I could throw Austin Eckrode in there. He didn't make the cut at Rocket Mortgage, but I've been playing it pretty good too. He's on my team in our league, so maybe I'm too much of a fan.
All right, maybe this should be my bet. Aberg's a Swedish, right?
Yeah. Blue flag with the yellow markings, that's Sweden, right? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yellow cross.
Maybe I ought to look at somebody else from Sweden. 7,300, Alexander Bjork, who right now I think would be on the Ryder Cup team on European points. But he's had four straight top tens. Fourth at eighth at the British Masters, ninth at the Scandinavian Mixed, sixth of the Porsche European Open. He's got seven top tens apparently on the year. I don't see a missed cut at all this year. 7,300. He might not have winning upside, but he's got top 10 upside at 7,300.
I can get with it. Skeeter, I really hope that Thorbjørn Olsen is playing next week. I don't know if I'm going to use him this week. He He's just a name that I really love. And the starter guy at the British Open. I'm sorry, I can't believe I said it.
That's all right.
I didn't say the whole thing. That's like saying most of a cuss word. I mean, you more or less said it, even though you didn't say it.
Right.
At the Open Championship, not the BO. Just because the guy that does the announcing of the T names, when he says Thorbjørn Olsen, it makes me laugh really hard.
By the way, is Michael Thorbjørns in the field, the amateur from Stanford? Because they could pair him up with Thorbjørn Olsen just for name fun.
Oh, my Lord. Could you imagine being the standard bearer there? You wouldn't have any room for the score.
Olsen, I don't think I ended up on Olsen, but he fits that upside. Like, he can either top 10 or he can finish 153rd. Like, he has that kind of range of outcomes. 15th of the British Masters, missed last week at Himmerland. 44th of the Porsche European Open, missed at PGA, but then he was 3rd of the Sildal Open. He won in Thailand, 6th of the Hero Indian Open. So, I think in the end for me, his recent form is okay, just not as good as a couple of the other golfers, but I have no issue with that.
Would you play Juice Luton?
Oh, absolutely. I love playing Luton. I think I remember a few years ago, and he'd come over to the major states for the majors. I'd play him, and of course, he'd always miss a cut. But
back-to-back top tens over there.
Yeah.
In Europe right now.
He's another one. You'd have to go back to February last time he missed a cut. But he's got, what, six top tens since then? Yeah, six top tens since then. He loves himself some European golf. Like, just a Euro specialist at 7,100. Absolutely unused.
Padraig Harrington.
Pass.
God, you're just never going to get on board. This man was 27th at the U.S. Open. You know that, right?
I do.
Okay.
I think I put him in round four showdown, if I remember right.
I will probably use Patty. I like him. Garrick Higo?
No. I get it. I mean, he's another one who
did come around
Europe, but that was he was the one who won twice in the Canary Islands and then
that's right.
Won the Palmetto.
That's right.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this is not the Canary Islands.
Fair enough. He was 21st last week, 33rd the week before, so I feel like we're seeing a little form from him. I guess I'm biased because he is on my team, too.
No, that's fine.
Anything else?
Yeah, I got some other names. Jordan L. Smith at 7,200. He's had nothing great finishes. I mean, he's got two top tens, but when I also look, I don't see, I mean, it's either missed cut or top 40 with a lot of top 30s and better. So 7,200, I don't mind taking a flyer on somebody like that. I have to switch back and forth between a couple of things here. If it wasn't, who did I say was potentially already in? Oh, Bjork for European points. If it's not him, I forget whether it's him or Yannick Paul at 7,100 who might be on. He's had five top tens this year. Hasn't missed a cut since February as well, with a few seconds, a sixth, a third, and an eighth. Was 49th last week. But here's another guy who's been playing really well. Made the cut at the PGA. Had a horrible weekend, but hey, he made the cuts. He interests me a little bit at 7,100. And then in the 7Ks, apparently, like anybody whose last name is Jordan this week, Matthew Jordan. Another one who has made five straight cuts, all four of them being top 25s, one top 10 in there at 7K. I can potentially look at him right in a little bit of form. And my last guy. Here, maybe I'll bet him top Scott. Ewan Ferguson, fourth of the British Masters, missed two cuts prior to that, but before that, 14th, 8th, 33rd, missed cut, 4th, 3rd. So he has at least shown some top 10 potential, including his last tournament at the British Masters.
Skeeter, I'm pretty much flush out of 7K, guys. I pretty much gave you my bottom feeders when we got to Higo and Harrington. No EVR for Skeeter, huh?
God, it's been so bad.
As opposite of like what I was saying about Adam Scott continually making cuts, EVR continually not making cuts.
And I love EVR, especially in Europe, but not with this form.
I know. I'm with you. Patrick Rogers above him, a guy I'm not going to use, who I don't mind using as well after a few miscuts.
I mean, look, I don't need a reason not to play Patrick Rogers, mainly because I just never get the guy right. And if he did miss on the number of John Deere, but it's a tournament he's usually played well at, so.
Yes. He was on my radar, yes. In fact, I think he was on my team, my lineup last week. Okay. Skeeter, who are we fading here?
Oh, shoot. You know, I looked at Lucas Herbert because I was like, I thought he's played well over here. And he does have a 15th of the Travelers, but he really hasn't been in much form since when. I mean, he did win the ISPS Handa, whatever that is. But really, I mean, granted, he really hasn't done much since then. So I'm not going to go Lucas Herbert.
I mean, I think I'm fading Sahith Theegala.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not happening right now for him.
No, I have a lot of his golf rookie card. I mean, he's making cuts, but
he is definitely making cuts. He's missed one all year.
But,
it's been 52nd. 27th at the US Open is the most promising finish he's had in quite a while. 38th, 58th, 40th, 56th, then RBC Heritage. That was early. That was mid April where he was fifth. So that's been the last good finish. I will fade Theegala.
Yeah. I need to win like Wyndham or 3M. I just need to win so I can
anything.
Yes.
Get him moving. All right, Skeeter, it's time to get down to the bottom of the barrel. It's 6K time. I don't know if I'm getting there. We'll see what happens. I do like some guys at the very bottom of 7K that may keep me from getting to 6K, but I see some names I would consider.
Oh, I got some 6K guys. Again, I have to look back. I have to flip between Fantasy National and DraftKings so I can, because I was just kind of looking at form. So at this point, these are just golfers who seem to have decent form. I don't know how they rate stat-wise or anything like that. But 6,900, Romain Lanisque.
Longesque. I don't really know how he says it.
Play of top Frenchman. Hasn't missed a cut since mid-March, and including in that, he's got 4 top 10s, including 8th the last time at the British Masters. Like, for sub-7K to only miss 2 cuts all year with 5 top 10s, I'll take a chance on him and made a cut at the U.S. Open.
Well, that seems better than my CT Pan.
He was on fire and then, oh, yeah, I think he was chalk at Travelers. I didn't play him, so that was one of the ones I got right. Oh, he had a horrible.
He missed the cut at Travelers, but he was third at Canada and fourth at Byron Nelson before that.
And missed cuts before that, so maybe another one of those boom buster type of guys.
Which is kind of there. If I get to 6K, that's what I'm looking at him for. But I don't know. Your Frenchman looks pretty intriguing as well.
Are you just playing CT Pan because you can't play Sabatini? You need some Olympic medalists.
I was thinking about it, yeah. I mean, I could play Xander, dude. I did say I was fading him, so I mean, that's a good pickup on your part.
Yeah, but you like playing your surprise, unexpected medalists.
I do. You're right. We'll see our guy again sometime.
Is he out with injury or?
I'm not. I honestly do not know.
Okay.
I have no idea. Skeeter, let me ask you about Daniel Hillier. He won the British Masters, was third at the BMW International Open, missed at the Porsche, but was fifth at the KLM Open. I mean, you want to look at a guy who's had a pretty good form over there?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's 3 out of the last 4 tournaments. He was top 5. Now, granted, they're spaced out a little bit. That's going back into the middle of May, but still, like, that 6,900, that's some serious form.
And nobody, I mean, look, there's, I'm just looking right now at the 9Ks, or 6Ks. There's 2 golfers who are even approaching 5%, and they're both based in the U.S.
Yeah, not surprising.
You know, their stat models, Chunan Yu, who I think is Kevin Yu, and Dylan Wu. But no, Hillier, I missed him when I was looking. Okay.
I mean, dude, like I'm just pulling, I'm a pulling a rabbit out of my keister. No. I'm not telling you that I like had a whole lot on him, but just see that and I go, all right, that's intriguing.
Exactly.
Made 10 out of 16 cuts with some real good form here lately.
No, I put a star by him.
Anyone else that we're looking at here?
Yes, I have 2 real ones and 1 just you know how you choose Charlie Hoffman every week. I have one guy that I'm just finally so I get to play.
Hey, one of my guys was Jim Herman last week, by the way. One of those guys I picked for no reason. Now, obviously, he didn't, but he had one good day.
Well, and I apologize. I might have jinxed him when I said 59 watch. But
it's okay. But I got off work and I turned on the TV, and the first thing I see is him missing that par putt. It's all good. I don't think you actually cursed him. We're not going to put that on you.
No, but you know what? I always like seeing Jim Herman play well. I mean,
I do too, man.
I think I remember a year or two ago I touted him as like a Saturday showdown play at DraftKings and tweeted it out, and he found it and responded like, good pick.
Yes, it was.
So you know what?
He said, you're a smart man, Skeeter, or something like that.
You call me a smart man, you're good by book. what a fool doesn't really know. But all right, you might remember this guy because he tends to be a little – He can get easily excited on the golf course when something goes well. 6,600 Marcel Siem from Germany.
I mean, I know the name, but I don't know the excitement.
I think he likes to do fist pumps.
Oh, okay.
But another guy who's made seven straight cuts, 10th at Himmerland last week, had a second in the Porsche European Open, mm-hmm. four top tens. He won in India earlier this year, like. 15 of 18 cuts made, 6,600. I don't mind taking a chance on fist pumping Marcel Siem.
I'm not going to argue with that.
And then I don't think I'll end up on this guy, but he did at least intrigue me a little bit. 6,500 Gavin Green, four top tens, including eighth at the British Masters. He's made four straight cuts, eighth and a 12th. Had another eighth at the KLM in late May, 14th at Korea, sixth at the Johnson Workwear Open. Oh, good grief. So, he's from Malaysia, so he mainly plays on the European Tour, but he does seem to pop up every now and then. I didn't mind him at 6,500. And then my guy type of play, who's only made two cuts. Oh, God. He's made two of 13 cuts this year at 2,001. I don't care. I put a dollar on it. My guy, Hao Tong Li, because he also has a tendency just to pop up out of nowhere every now and then and compete and win, so... I'll take a chance on him. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm playing him at DraftKings. I'll take my chance on him with a top 5, 10, 20, and 40 bets for a buck each at 2,001 to win.
Skeeter, I'm not sure that I would ever want to start a lineup with like three straight 6,500 guys.
Okay.
But if you started with Charlie Hoffman, okay, let's just say two 6,500 guys. Hey, Charlie Hoffman, I love him to death, but he's just not playing well enough that I can't even justify playing him. But let's say two 6,500 guys. MJ Duffy, he's playing okay. 35th John Deere, 24th Rocket Mortgage, 38th at the RBC Canadian. Three straight decent performances there with some made cuts. Callum Tarran, also 6,500. Missed at John Deere. He was one under while missing. 29th at Rocket Mortgage, 33rd at Travelers, 43rd at RBC Canadian. I mean, you're just looking for made cuts here, and I mean, I'm not really going to start a lineup with both of them. And maybe I get to a point where I have to figure out which one I'm more interested in. But are either of those guys like red flags? I shouldn't play them? Or what do you think?
No. If you have a reason to play anybody in this range, I think I just – and this is where I think the toughness of this week comes. Like, do you take the European guy, the DP World Tour guy who's playing well or has upside, or do you take the PGA Tour guy who's getting top 30s, top 40s? Which one's better? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I like to lean towards the Euro because I guess my thought is going to be less ownership, a better chance to be unique with the Euro, but I could be dead wrong.
Right. I'm going to timestamp this. We're recording this Monday night during the Home Run Derby. Your guy Mookie Betts, who you were interested in?
Yeah.
He hit a grand total of 12 home runs.
That's not good, is it?
No, everybody else has hit over 20 so far.
Okay.
So
I said some local guy on the radio said 16-1 sounded good, and I thought, man, if I was sitting at a bar with nothing to do, I probably would throw $5 on that 16-1.
Hey, he's got 26 homers on a season. 8-person field, you can get 16-1, absolutely. Apparently just not his night. Which,
yeah, that's all right. What are you gonna do?
He cares? Not really.
I bet he doesn't.
He'll get a little bit of grief, but whatever. That's all right.
Anything else in 6K that sparks your interest?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think so either. I'm finding names names that I like, but not necessarily plays that I like.
What's some names from the past?
Well, there is certainly, who was I looking at? Luke Donald. I mean, I don't know if he is quite a name from the past since he is certainly prominent in the storylines right now.
I mean, I see Sharma, Nicholas Kolsertz, Xander Lombard. There you go. Play the real Xander Lombard.
Settle down now. Yeah, there's Kolsertz. Well, I don't think he's the real Xander, but I'll let you stand. I'll let you stand on that.
No, I'm kidding on that one.
It's okay.
Rafa is in the field.
Eduardo's in the field.
So is Frankie. He play. There you go. Start a lineup with the Molinari brothers. Throw Fleetwood in. So for Mollywood and go from there.
And then go go work an hour somewhere to make up the money you lost on that lineup.
All right. You know what? There's two other guys who I'm not going to play, but they at least I could see a merit for it. 6,200, I have no idea who this guy is. Simon Forstrom, another Swede. Four top tens on the year, 13 of 18 cuts. He did win the Sudal Open 2 months ago in May. Since then, he's had three top 35s, a T70, and two missed cuts. So, must have been one of those finally guys winning. It's, you know, kind of struggling to adjust to that, but he at least shows a little upside. And then 6,400, Sammy Valamaki, 34th and 18th in his past two tournaments. Had a second at Singapore, three top tens, another 13 of 18 cuts. He has 2 seconds on the year. So I'm not going there, but there's, again, if you want upside cheaper, they at least have shown a little upside this year.
That's funny. I clicked on his name because I was thinking for a second it might be. I was thinking about Mike Vysecki, the big Mike guy that was a hot name. American, I think he Monday qualified or something last year, and I was like, oh, is that him? Because there's another like obscure golfer in this range, Marcus Armitage, that I like for no other reason than I think he got all like choked up and he was crying and stuff when he won, and but he seemed like a big goofy guy, likes to suck down beer. So I was like, oh my god, I love this guy. So I'm not gonna bet on him, but like I said, when I said there's other names in the field, Armitage would be that one where I'll be like, he's a Euro. I could figure out a reason to, but I don't know that I will.
Jamie Donaldson. Oh, man, there's a name from the past.
I thought that was Josh Donaldson. I didn't even know what was going on. That is a name from the past, though. Jamie, not Josh.
Well, both names from the past.
I'd say, yeah, kind of. You're right. Skeeter, anything else for the Scottish Open from a DraftKings perspective?
I don't think so.
Well, Skeeter, we're going to have a conversation now about one and done. And I continue to be a part of this conversation, but I also continue to have no good insight. I mean, I guess Denny McCarthy wasn't a terrible pick for me last week. No.
And you and I didn't, you and I didn't talk about this beforehand. We both chose him.
Yes. Who are you going with this week? You have... I mean, you're in a good spot. You're in the money in one and done right now. You're, you know, regardless of who you pick, I guess, what's your thought process right now? Are you trying to win it all, or are you just trying to cash?
I mean, I'm going to cash. I'm in 168th place, and there's only three kind of bigger prize pool events left in the Open and the first two PGA Tour playoff events. So... And I've already told you I'm saving Rom probably for the BMW. Maybe I'll sneak Justin Thomas into Memphis.
If he sneaks into Memphis.
Yeah. But, and I've used most of these top guys. Like, I wish I had Fleetwood or Hatton available. I don't.
Would you be in 168th place if you had them available, though?
Well, yeah, because Hatton was terrible for me at match play. Maybe not, because Fleetwood, I think, got me a top five at Valspar. So, can't complain. I mean, my highest, you know, the best guy according to odds that I have available and I'm not using him is Wyndham Clark. I wish I had Justin Rose available, but I'd use him too. But I think I'm between Aberg, Tom Kim, and if I really want to go off the board, and I might go to Morong.
First of all, who I pick doesn't even matter. At this point, whether this conversation or because the players I have left, if you have the same players left as me, I mean, unless you use them in a different order, if you use the same players as me, you're out of the money too, and you're just waiting for the new one to start. But I think something you said before we got started that bears repeating while we're doing this now is like, you look at this field, and it's a pretty good field as people get ready for the major championship next week. But this is not an elevated purse event. And when you look at one and done, you don't just look at the field. You've got to look at what your potential return of investment on one of these players is. And I think it's really important to note that the purse just isn't an elevated field purse, even if this field kind of looks like one. Not exactly, but kind of does.
Right, so we have six events remaining. This is the, you know, I said the Open, the FedEx, St. Jude, and BMW. Those are the big payouts remaining. This is the fourth highest. Like, this one will pay more than 3M and Wyndham. So, yeah, I don't know which way I'm going. I think it's between Aberg, Tom Kim, maybe Sam Burns, so I really gets ambitious, or Maronk.
I don't even know what to tell you, because no matter what I say, I've been so bad. I don't even want to pollute your brain thoughts here.
Like, part of me wants to use Maronk just because nobody else is going to, and this is kind of my way of, hey, let me try to really make a move up.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're thinking. I absolutely get what you're thinking.
But, if Maronk doesn't win and Scheffler wins or one of these, or Rory wins, that's fine. Like, go right ahead. I'd rather see that than, I don't know who the popular one-and-done play is going to be this week, but whoever it is, I hope that they don't win. Because at that point, there's not a significant difference at this point between third and tenth. Like, yes, there's enough. Like, there'll be a few spots, but, it's just not going to be that extreme, so.
I will tell you that the most popular golfer this week, I bet you, ends up being Tommy Fleetwood. I bet you number two is either Ricky Fowler or Matt Fitzpatrick. I bet you Victor Hovland gets a lot of that 26% availability burned up this week, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because, again, we're just at the point, there's not many spots remaining.
Yeah. How many people are looking at what they've got left to choose from and saying, I'm willing to end the year without using Tommy. I'm willing to end the year without using Hatton, Fowler. Hatton, not necessarily 29. Hovland, nobody's going to – I mean, the 26% of people left in the field that have Hovland available, I mean, short of a few people who maybe checked out because they're behind me and they're so embarrassed they don't want to play anymore, those people are going to use that 26% Hovland.
Yeah, and by the way, your mention of Fleetwood, on Monday night he looks like he is going to be potentially the most popular player this week. Him, Hatton, and Hovland are top three with Scheffler and Cantley and Rory kind of right there.
Tommy finished fourth here last year. He's obviously coming off the RBC playoff. Yeah, I mean, I could see his usage being every bit of 30% this week.
And look,
because nobody's really saving him for a major or the playoffs, are they?
They might save him for next week. I mean,
that's fair.
But again, I mean,
well, no, I guess it is fair. I don't know. He does play better in Europe. He doesn't win in the States. Fair enough.
I mean, the other thing for me too is part of my reason for the wrong pick is I've been so chalky, and look, I'm going to be very chalky, or at least I assume I'm going to be very chalky next week. Because, well, next week the last time you used Cam Smith, and he just won LIV London. And he's the defending Open champion. Like, this is just going to make way too much sense. So, why don't I try to go a little off the board in a lesser paying event?
I don't hate it. I mean, I think there makes a lot of sense to that.
But, again, I'm going to have to kind of dig into things a little bit by Wednesday night, kind of make a decision. You know, do I go Maronk? Do I go Tom Kim? Those are probably the two that I'm probably considering the most right now.
You're not considering Fleetwood this week?
I used him at Valspar.
I am putting the KOD on Tommy Fleetwood right now.
Oh.
So that's good. I'm putting the kiss of death on him by using him. So that means that he will not get a lot of money for the rest of your opponents that actually matter as opposed to me.
And you know what? And that's fine. He was fine for me. I played him at Valspar. He was T3, got me $478,000. Like, I'm okay with that.
Skeeter, what else do we have for the Scottish?
I don't know. I think that's about it. I guess just a friendly reminder that, remember, this is in Europe, so you better have those lineups in Wednesday night unless you're up very early Thursday morning.
I don't know. Can you get up that early Thursday morning?
Well, sure you can.
Is there such a thing?
I mean,
what are they, 5 hours ahead of Eastern Standard Time in Scotland?
Yeah, I'll probably be like 2 a.m. 3 Eastern.
And say, well, I guess you could get up that early. Yeah, because I'm like, I'm going to be watching golf before I go to work instead of after I get home from work normally.
Yeah, so.
Well, Skeeter, I look forward to just kind of gauging this week for next week as much as anything. Yeah. I'll set my three, but I think in the end, I think that's maybe the most important lesson here is just, you know, we're keeping our eyes on what's happening now for what we hope is a precursor for things to come next week.
Exactly.
Skeeter, good luck to you this week, my friend, and certainly good luck with that pick for one and done. If you need any help, I'll try to think of somebody you can ask besides me.
Thanks, James.
As a friend, you don't want my honest opinions here. They're clearly not good. 3,017th place here. So, but good luck to you making your pick, because I am certainly pulling for you to at least make an impact if you can't get all the way up there.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. We appreciate y'all listening. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.